Well, I am very privileged today to be joined by Stephen J. Manning, and we are here to talk about leadership in the corporate world. And this will help you on your journey to climb that corporate ladder. And if you are not in a corporation, you're an entrepreneur, and you're thinking, well, this isn't really worth it for me to watch, well, think again, because leadership is important. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you need to lead. You need to lead yourself and other people. You need to set an example for them. So welcome, Steve. Nice to see you. You know a lot about leading, as I know you've run a substantial business and worked for many others over the last few decades. So it's always good to get an education whilst I'm talking to you.
Thank you very much.
So on leadership in the corporate world, right, the qualities and skills needed to become an effective leader in a corporate environment are an interesting combination of skills, right? So how would you define true corporate leadership? Would you sort of think influence is involved with corporate leadership in that context?
It is that and a whole bunch more, of course. You and I have talked about this, and we continue to talk about it because it's a massive topic for everybody, certainly everybody I know, and everybody that reads us and listens to us. Without leadership, very few things actually succeed. That includes just personally. You have to be a leader of yourself, along with everyone else that's close to you in whatever context, personal, business, and so on. Let me just start backwards for one second. Is the question is, what makes a good leader? Of course, that has changed somewhat over time and in some very specific ways in more recent time. Recent times, to me, is driven by advent of technological, innovations to create different levels of leadership. Some years ago, when I was a young guy, in a growing business, which matured to be a very substantial business, I had a mentor to whom I owed a whole lot of my development, and we talked about leadership. John was a leader. He was a leader of men and thought, which is a very, very important thing, being a thought leader. And I said, to being a young guy, we're talking about leadership versus management, which is a big deal. It's not a distinction without a difference. It's quite different. And I said, I need to make this talk for our big management team on leadership. Tell me what a leader is. So we sat through and slogged through that topic for hours upon hours and hours with this very bright man. And then we came up with a list of 72 things a leader is not. Just to illustrate how difficult it was to really narrow it down, hone it down to the really critical things, working with a man that by every definition I've ever heard of was a quality leader. Ultimately, reluctantly, we came up with something called 27 things a leader is. I every once in a while unearth that and see how it weathered time. Some of those concepts are hard, inviolate, and then some have changed, modulated some. Now, to get into some definitions, if you will, there are 20,000 books you can buy about leadership. You can buy them at the end caps of the supermarket. You can find them in libraries at Stanford and Wharton and in Oxford. And people keep on writing them and writing them. And then I see how some of the similarities is how they get down to a level which is important, but not the critical point, which is they conflate leadership with management. Good leader, good manager. And they bifurcate the two. You know, leaders have vision, whereas managers are the execution machine. Let me just dispel that right now. and then we'll get to more definitional stuff. The world of business today is very complex in many ways. Certainly socially is complex. The economics are very complex. The people aspect of this is soft stuff, very complicated. You must have today, a leader has to have soft skills. But I'll tell you what, if a leader does not have superior management skills, he will fail. You need to know how the truck runs. Not just that we have a truck and it needs to run and I'll inspire it to run. Have you ever dreamed yourself to success? No. The leader today has to have vision by definition. And then, as I said, superior classic management skills. And then the golden stuff. A leader must know how to set ambitious yet attainable goals. If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. And how are you going to get there? A leader has to have clarity of thinking, clear to where you're going to go, to chart the path to those goals. And then a leader has to have that elusive thing, which is a decision-making process that incorporates managing people, managing the hardcore stuff, and then develop data analytics matrices. And then you have to figure out how to delegate judiciously and then how to retain control at the same time. Now, one of the things that getting into some definitions, it is important to understand for you in a corporate environment, a business environment, any kind, even in familiar situations, your own family, your own children, people you associate with. There are many ways to lead. Recognize these. You'll run into leaders in your business, in your personal relationships, that lead by fear. Autocracy, I am the last word. Then some have this disingenuous benevolence. You know, let me wrap my arms around you just as I take out the knife and stab you in the back. Then there are people that say, fair. Do what you're going to do. We're good. You go right ahead. I'm good with it, says that leader. And the minute you walk out the door, the leader says, ah, it's not going to work out. They call HR and find a replacement for you. Anticipating a failure. Why? They didn't tell you what they really wanted, didn't communicate adequately, and they know it. The goals they set are absurd. I'm expecting that man or woman do something, but I haven't told them yet, but they should know on their own. Oh, how about leadership by ignorance? You know, that's not going to work. And then my favorite leader, the charismatic leader. He's so charismatic. He knocks you over with that charm, the personality, the phony smile. When I see that, I learn to recognize it. I'm gone. I'm running for the hills. That is a train wreck waiting to happen. We don't want to do that as leaders. And then, of course, the leader says, I signed the check. Therefore, I'm an autocrat. What I say goes. Okay. Can you spell sabotage? Can you spell neglect? Okay, now, the subset of that is, of course, the same person that says that also signs your paycheck and can fire you. You can't fire that person. But you need to recognize a quality leader. Now, there are many ways to lead. As I said, the most elegant way to lead is being a thought leader. What does that mean? You inspire your constituents on what to think. And then the Holy Grail, which is how to think. If you can accomplish much of both, then those folks will just organically want to follow that leader, follow you. It is really the Holy Grail, the most elegant thing in leadership. is when you create an environment that you set leadership by example. You create goals that are attainable, although challenging, where you embrace respect, you know, and I'm glad to relate that in very, very hardcore terms in just one moment. Embrace respect, where you are absolutely focused and honest on the people you try to lead. Am I asking that man or woman to do something they can legitimately and should do? Am I expecting more? Did I put people in jobs that are not suited to them? They'll figure it out. I will lead them to success. That's possible unless you just put someone in a predicament they can't possibly succeed. By the way, when you have that in your leadership strength, you have a terrific person that you like. They do very well in what they know how to do. I'm going to lead them to greatness. As I said, you know, hell, there was a time where I could dunk a basketball. That was a while ago when I still had knees, but my knees have gone south and I'm not a kid anymore. I can talk about it, but don't ask me to do it. You ask me to do it, I just failed. So make sure as a leader that the people you're trying to lead, that person is right for that job. And the job is right for that person. Okay, but I really like that man or woman. I'm going to lead them to greatness, although the fit's not there. You're doing a terrible disservice to that person you're coddling. They're not going to progress where they are, and you are keeping them from going someplace else where they can do better. At the same time, you're sabotaging your own company. Now, to lead by example, hey, I was never in a leadership position where I felt I can just delegate. Now, as much as I think I communicated what expectations, I was reasonable about the reviewing the results, et cetera, I never isolated myself from people that I was leading. If I expected my management people to run three shifts in many locations around whatever, I'd had to go and see that for myself over and over and over again. Nothing inspired that workforce at 3 a.m. in a graveyard shift more than to see senior management walking by. How you doing? What's that? Hey, how's your wife and kid? How's Mary Jo? You say to somebody working at 4 a.m. in the graveyard shift, and they look at you and say, we got thousands of people. How does she know Mary Jo? Well, you want to be that kind of hands-on leader, you're gonna know a lot of people. I'll never forget Sandy Sigaloff walking in one of the more brilliant business minds I've ever met. I offered to work with him for absolutely free for 2 years. He turned me down. I wish I had. Or she had not, because I would have learned from a guy who walked into a meeting of all management in his multi-billion dollar company, and it took him an hour and a half to make it to the podium because he shook hands with 800 people and asked every one of them something personal. Hey, did Bobby get his braces off? How does he know?
Crazy.
How did you know that my mother-in-law is not well? Because she was a hands-on leader who understood. I'm a lead by example. His example was two things. Empathy, married with, he had a hatchet. He did not have a scalpel. He had a hatchet. And you know what? The turnarounds that he did were legendary. And those people who were fighting to somehow hold on to a job ended up working 20 hours a day for this man. He led by example, led by empathy. He never said, if you don't do it, I'm going to fire you. But next day, he did shut down that factory because we didn't need it. And people said, what are you doing? I'm saving your job. Because we keep that, we can't keep you either. It's a management style that I followed, I found amazing and learned from. Again, And of course, the most elegant part of leadership is to teach people how to think. Now, that sounds arrogant. Not arrogant if you, the leader, are learning from other leaders that are bigger, better, smarter, more experienced, wiser than you are. You know, it's an amazing thing. CEO, chairman of board, Fortune 5. He has consultants. Why? Somebody going to build that thing better? I don't think so. You're the top company manufacturing that in the whole world. You spend $5 million a day on advertising. You have consultants. I spent my life competing in a couple of sports, and I was always amazed. One of my heroes, Roger Federer, had a team of coaches. And Roger Federer, at the height of his career, was doing 10 hours of footwork drills every week. Seriously? He doesn't know anything about footwork. The greatest footwork in the history of tennis, but he needed people to keep him straight. Those were his leaders. That dude that was his coach, he didn't have an MBA from Wharton, and he didn't go to Oxford, but he had a skill. The skill set was to inspire the greatest ever to do that. And how, you know, was he a leader? Well, he managed to do it for 15 years until he wanted to stay home for a while instead of travel. It's as a leader or a leader to be, you have the incredible opportunity to find people who can teach you how to do that, teach you skill sets. Never in history have we had as much opportunity to learn that we have now. Easy, click, click, tap, tap. You can find out almost anything you're looking for. But the way you comport yourself, how you lead people. It's an amazing thing when you find people that will turn on the lights. You know, okay, I've got a company here. I got 5,000 or 6,000 employees. And, oh, we do about $1 billion and change. And then some kid, 22 years old, a junior supervisor in a facility, meekishly, you say, what are you doing? Speak up. And the kid tells you what he thinks about how that his building with 800 people works and doesn't work. And if I could do it, what would you do differently? Well, I have people that I need to rely on, and I would communicate differently because these people look up to certain type of management people. They don't like my boss. Here's why. Okay, Ernie, you do it. Well, wait a minute. I'm only 21. Okay. Only 700 people, 500,000 square feet of stuff. Go ahead. Figure it out. Now, that kid had more innate leadership skills than his boss, his boss's boss, and the other guy who 6 months later were dismissed. But leadership. I think it's a truly elegant thing. It's elegant. It's amazing when people want to listen to you, want to follow you, and identify with you. And then they'll walk through fire for you, as opposed to, I'm here to earn a paycheck. To see a really good leader at work, I've had the pleasure of a couple of people in my lifetime, where you don't mind working all night long, all day long. You don't mind. You want to. You wake up in the morning energized, because you see benefit from your presence there. You have a leader that inspired you. And if you have an inspired leader, then you are going to remember Manningism. You never consider failure an option. Just don't. I've had some of those people in my life that, not blindly, but I so readily accepted what they wanted to do, and more importantly, how they wanted to do it. And then you want to know, how would you do it? Well, I do this. Okay, then we do the analytics. We figure out the potential upsides, the potential liabilities, and then we forge ahead courageously. And it's a team. We're doing this because the boss said so. Kiss of death. you're going to get somebody who's going to take 8 hours of work and take 8 hours to do it. Who's going to take 5 hours of work and take 8 hours to do it. The converse is not true. You get somebody who's going to get 10 hours of work to get it done in eight because they really want to. They're motivated and energized. A leader is as much a motivator as anything else, but the leader has to also be really educated on the subject matter which is trying to lead. You can't lead by charisma. That's transparent to smart people. You know, I say this all the time. I would never. My dad taught me this a long, long time ago. I remember the first time as a child, an enduring memory, when I tried to forgive the language. I tried to BS my dad. That was the last time I tried to BS a smart person. You don't want to have that meeting and people say, yeah, the boss, sounding off. No. When people walk on a single kid, I want to do this. And then that door, proverbial door, has to be open. Because a leader who leads by dictum will fail. Will fail. Simple as that. And a big word in leadership is respect. You're aware of this. I had an interesting client. They are by far a market leader in the world. These people spend $5 million a day on ordinary advertising. And we were in a meeting with too many people. They had an issue. I addressed it the way I knew how to address it, which to me was obvious, to them not so much. I was lucky, I guess, or maybe I was aware. And then I said, I urge a little change, very little. And the number three guy in there, and these are all very august, very sophisticated gentlemen. They are the biggest in the world, what they do. Everybody knows them. They make cars. I won't tell you, but they make cars. And the number three guy pounded the table and said, we're never going to do that. It's cast in stone. Not going to do that. I said, okay, you asked. Nope, not going to happen. 2 weeks later, CEO sent me a little note. Hey, Steve, following up on our meeting, I accept somebody translated that for him. But hey, Steve, our meeting, the gentleman you sparred with is no longer employed here. Okay. Global head of sales? I said, okay. And he went on to say, in my company, there's only two things that are cast in stone, hard work and respect. And he signed it with a nickname. I didn't think I knew that man well. I mean, you know, what stuck with me, now there's a guy who runs that massive company who focused on one aspect of leadership called respect. By the way, extends to all the people who work for them. I don't know, a million people who work for them. And then the thing that is even more interesting, and I will stop there, I began to understand part of respect was respect for their consumer, the customer. Because at some talk while earlier, I said the awful words, planned obsolescence, which is a business model in cars made all over the world, but not there. Hey, we all want a new car every 4 years, so year five, thing will fall apart. We don't care. No. Their respect, this leader's respect extends to his people, outsiders, and then the man and the woman in wherever in the world that buys the product. I'm going to respect you. You work hard. You extend us the respect to buy our thing. We're not going to let you down. That thing will run 150,000 miles before it falls apart. There's a leader. Now, that is a leader. You know, unfortunately, he doesn't make a lot of time for me because I'd love to sit and talk with him and learn and learn and learn and learn. Because what he showed was an aspect of leadership, the respect a leader has for his company, his employees, his customers. Ultimately, the reputation is a big deal for them as well. But you know what? It's a very interesting lesson in leadership. I think I answered your question.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Very interesting. Very interesting. And I like the inspiration that leaders bring. I think inspiring people to be better than they were yesterday and to share those common goals is really important. And respect is, it goes two ways, right? It goes both ways, you know? And I really appreciate that. I think it's very interesting. Thank you, Steve. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
And thank you, Nathaniel.
Do go back and check out the last one of these, because we did another interview talking about this this very topic. And also, if you haven't subscribed to Monday Influencer, you should go to mondayinfluencer.com and sign up there, and you will get some more of our wisdom from our amazing network and receive from Steve here. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.